Today's shir in Sech Teshuvos, Rav Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis on the Beis at the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Tanim Malkus Solik. We just finished learning Sech the Malkus. Maishna the Tanim Shuvos. So ask the Gemara, why do we begin to learn Sech the Shuvos right after Sech the Malkus? Sech the Malkus, as we learned, refers primarily to situations where somebody is chayiv makis. And Masechet Shavuos, as we're learning, reflects somebody who's mechayiv, who's obligated to bring a carbon oil of yoyrit. Tosfos asks that there's a rule in Shas of Ein Seid de la Mishnah. There is no particular order to the Mishnayis. So what's the Gemara asking? Why is the Gemara so concerned why Masechet Shavuos is right next to Masechet Makkos? So Tosfos answers that when there's a rule Ain't Seid la Mishnah, there's a rule throughout Shas that we have a machloikis v'achach stam. If we have a Mishnah that reflects the machloikis, and then that subject, a later Mishnah is a stam Mishnah with no machloikis, so there we paskin like the stam. But that rule only applies when they're in one Masechta. But when there are when they're in two Masechtas, that rule doesn't apply. Because Rebbe did not learn the Masechtas that we have in Shas in a specific order, in the order of the Masechtas. So he could have maybe learned the Masechta with the Machloikis after the Machloikis with the Stam. But in the same Masechta, then there is a meaning to the order. And because there's a meaning to the order, the Masechta, the Machloikis, Achkach Stam, Stam Achkach Machloikis, is meaningful. However, Tosfos goes on to say, having said what we just said, Tosfos says, however, there is, once all the Masechtas of Shas were established, that is an order to those Masechtas. And there is a reason why one Masechta comes before the other Masechta. That's why the Gemara is legitimately asking, why does Shavuos come after Makkos? It says, to Rimagash, even if we'll say that it's not that halachically meaningful, but everything has a reason. And therefore, what we need to understand, if we need to understand why this Masechta is one. The Rimagash gives another answer. We've discussed in previous shurim that many are of the opinion that the three babas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, are to be viewed as one Masechta. But he says there are those that actually say that not only are the three babas to be viewed as one Masechta, but even all of Seid and Nezikin is to be viewed as one Masechta. Since it's all considered in one Masechta, that's why the order, when it's one Masechta, is, of course, meaningful. The other way the Ramban explains, the Ramban says that the Gemara's question is that the Gemara says, we just finished learning Masechta Makkos, and it's in Seid and Nezikin. What? And he says, the fact that Masechta Shavuos is in Seid and Nezikin, and why is it that Seid and Nezikin is right after Masechta Makkos? What makes them in common? That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara. Shom the Tani, since we learned in the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Makkos, Chayiv al Rosh Shtayim, that when we know that there are two halachas, we discussed them very extensively when we learned Masechta Makkos. There's a halacha Peis HaRosh. The halacha Peis HaRosh tells us that one may not cut his Peis of his head, as there's one on each side of the head, the right and the left, one may not cut them off. And then there's another halacha, that's the halacha of Loisakifu Pas Roshchem. Then there's another halacha, Loisashchis Pas Sekanecha. One may not cut the five parts of the beard. We learned in the Masechta Makkos very extensively that there's a machloikis where those five payas appear. Everybody agrees that there's one on the chin, but there was a discussion when we learned Masechta Makkos where the other two are on the right and two are on the left. But there was a discussion exactly where the two on the right and two on the left are Are they by the sideburns, below the sideburns, the whole sideburns? And the Torah says that that one may not use a razor to cut those payas. So, and there, when we learned those halachas, the Mishnah said, achas mikan v'achas mikan. By payas harosh, we said that there's two payas on each side. When we spoke about the beard, we said, v'azokin, we learned that there's shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan, two on the right side, two on the left side, v'achas milmata, and one by the chin. So, we have here situations, chada the mechayev latarti, that even though the Torah only speaks about one aveira, but that one aveira could carry with it many, many repercussions. That's why our Mishnah as well, Tana Shavuos, what's similar to that is when we speak about the halacha of Shavuos that we discussed in our previous year, where there too the halacha is shtayim shein arba, that they're more averis, as we discussed and will discuss, than what is mentioned in the Torah. There are many halachas that we discussed when we learned these halachas. Tosfos points out that when we learned Masechta Makkos, we learned that the Torah says lo sakifu, and that from there we learned that the isser of cutting the payas doesn't only apply to the one who actually does the avera of giving this type of a haircut or giving this type of a shave, but even the person, that's the makif, but even the person who is the nikif, the person who is receiving that type of haircut, is also going to get malchus. And we explained, because the halacha views the nikif as a messiah, as the nikif being participating in helping that person, in helping that avera happen. The Tosfos here has a discussion, what will be the halacha if the makif, if the barber is giving haircut to a minor? Since the cotton is excluded from the issa of lo sakifu, that no ketanim are not obligated in mitzvah sasei. So Tosfos says that the same will be that the issa of the makif, of the one giving the haircut, will also not apply to the barber who shaves the cotton in such a fashion. Tosfos, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, teaches us that although a cotton is exempt from following and observing what it says in the Torah, there's still a halacha of ispa lispus loy biyadayim. We're not allowed to give them, for example, non-kosher food, or cause that a cotton should be over an isser. And this halacha applies not just to the father of a child who has a chiyuv of giving chinuch, but applies to everybody. So ask the menchus chinuch, how can we say that a person is allowed to give a child this type of a chinuch? Why shouldn't it be included in the isser of leisachilim, also lispus loy biyadayim? We're not allowed to give isser to the cotton. So the Shaar HaMelech answers that the isser of leisakifu is an exception to the rule, because the Torah goes out of a way to compare the makif to nikif, to teach us that the makif and the nikif have to be in the same category. And if the makif and the nikif are not in the same category, then the halacha of the halachas that we're going to apply will not, the halacha that we're discussing will not apply. Of course, there's another discussion that we discussed when we learned the Masechta Makkos, and that is when we speak about the isser of cutting the beard. The Torah says very clearly, loisashkus. Loisashkus means, as we learned, that one is not allowed to use a razor to cut the beard. And the Gemara had, when we learned the Gemara had a discussion, what would be the halacha if you're not using a razor, if you're using scissors? And the halacha would be that, it would not be necessarily iser. What would be the halacha by the payas? Does the halacha of the payas only apply with a scissor, only apply with a razor, or even with a scissor? As we quoted, Tosfos discusses this in Masechta Makkos, And Taisa says that the Isser applies not just with a razor, but with a scissor as well. We said that the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, and Shulchan Aruch seems to say that once you follow the opinion of Taisus, that the Peis HaRosh, straightening out the Peis HaRosh, may not be done even with a scissor, not just with a razor. I actually saw a very interesting tshuva from Ramosha Zatzal. Ramosha, in the Shail Tshuvas Igros Moshe Yerodei Chelik Beis, Simon Nun Gimel, discusses with somebody asked him if one is allowed to study ancient pagan worship, how they used to worship Avodah Zarah, how they used to bow down to statues. He says, specifically, since that's not what the Umas HaOlam do currently, maybe there is no problem in studying that kind of culture. Ramosha says, a very interesting vart. We spoke when we learned the Sugya Masechta Makkos, we quoted the opinion of the Rambam. And the opinion of the Rambam was that the Isser of Laisakifa Pas Roshchem, why is the Torah so concerned about that Isser? So the Rambam says, because that was the way the Nochrim behaved. And since Chazal, the Torah, did not want us to look like the Nochrim, that's why the Torah says that we're not allowed to, we have to be careful not to have haircuts in the style of the Nochrim. So Ramosha makes the obvious observation. Ramosha says that the Nochrim wore that kind of hairstyle in the time of the Torah, maybe even in the time of the Rambam. He says, but they don't wear that type of a hairstyle nowadays. So if they don't wear that type of a hairstyle nowadays, there should be the Isser, according to the Rambam, ought not to apply. Why does the Isser continue to apply? So explains Ramosha, what we're learning from the way the Rambam understands this of Loisakifa Pas Roshchem, and we did quote at that time the Torah and the Beis Yosef, who are concerned with the Rambam's approach. They say that what the Torah says is also because the Torah said it's also, we don't need to apply explanations to it. But according to the Rambam, the Torah is teaching us that once something becomes usur because it represents Avodah Zarah, even when it will not necessarily represent Avodah Zarah, it will still remain usur. Therefore, he says, the same would apply to studying about Avodah Zarah that took place in that time, even though it's not applicable nowadays, but once it's established and identified as Avodah Zarah, it remains that way forever. Ask the Gemara, we continue learning our Mishnah. And our Mishnah said that when we speak about a Shuas Bitui, about somebody making sure they will or won't do things, the Mishnah says, Shtayim She'er Arba. Then Mishnah says, Mishnah Hocha, why in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah speaks about cases of Shtayim She'er Arba, Tanalul Kula, the Mishnah mentions all the other places in Halacha where we have the concept of Shtayim Shen Arba. Or Mishnah, why when we learn the first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Gab Yetziyah Shabbos, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Negoyim, that speaks about Maros Negoyim, the Lo Ketani Kula, we don't have a similar wording in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is telling us everything that it's applicable to. And Amri answers the Gemara, Shvius Vidiyas HaTuma, the Gabe HaDodik Sivim, the Loch of Shuas and Tuma are mentioned in the Torah next to each other. The Torah says, "I nefesh shetiga b'chol dava tamei," and then the Torah says, "I nefesh kishishav alavatus v'sayim." The damyim nahadadi, and they also have this similarity that by both of them, if the avera was violated b'shoigig, there's a chiv of carbon oil of yared, as we discussed. The Torah depending on the person's financial situation, that will determine what type of a carbon he brings. That's why Tanil Gaba Adadi, that's why they're mentioned next to each other. And now continues the Marva, either the Tani Tati, once we mention these two cases, which we have a good reason to mention next to each other, Tanakula, so then we bring all the other examples in Shas, all the other examples in Shas,
where it's appropriate to say Shtayim Shein Arba. But ask the Gemara another question. Pasuk B'Shavuos, the Masechta began speaking about the Halacha of Shavuos, but then when the Mishnah goes into detail in explaining the Halachas, Mefarish Yedias HaTumah. It speaks about the Halacha of Tumah. Shouldn't the Mishnah have remained consistent, says the Gemara? I did the Zutra Mila, Yedias HaTumah. When we speak about Yedias HaTumah, I did the Zutra Milayu, since there are not that many halachas involved in those halachas, so first Pasuk Sharilu, the Mishnah finishes teaching them first. And after we finish learning them, V'hadatani, Shavuos, the Nefishim Elayu, then we go into studying the halachas of Shavuos, which have many more details. And as the Rishonim point out, that even though when we speak about Shavuos, and our subject is speaking about Shavuos Bitui, and Shavuos Bitui only takes up one perek, but the subject of this Masechta is Shavuos, and all the types of Shavuos, not singling out Shavuos Bitui, and therefore where we speak about all the details of what takes up more space, what is more extensive, Shavuos are more extensive. Tosfos also points out that the Gemara cannot have answered as it sometimes does, that the Mishnah begins to explain the last thing that it taught, because the last thing that it taught was Maris Nagoyim. So if the Mishnah is going to follow the style of speaking about what it spoke about last, it should have mentioned Maris Nagoyim. The fact that it speaks about Yedias HaTumah, that answer would not work. So says the Gemara, we learned Shavuos, when we speak about Shavuos Bitui, Shtayim Shein Arba, there are two cases that are mentioned in the Torah that are expanded into four cases. What are the two cases that are mentioned in the Torah? Oichel v'lo yoichel. The Torah speaks about Lahora or Lahayitiv, that speak about the future. What are the Arba? What are the two more cases that are added? Shachalti v'shlo yachalti. Somebody made a Shavuot that he ate, well, he really didn't eat. Somebody made a Shavuot, and then he did eat what he didn't really eat. Continued the Mishnah, and speaking about Yedias HaTumah, also teaching us there are Shtayim Shein Arba. What are the Shtayim? Tumas Kodesh. Yedias Tumas Kodesh. Somebody knew he was Tamei, forgot that he's Tamei, and ate Kodshim. Yedias Tumas Migdash. Similarly, he knew he was Tamei, forgot that he was Tamei, and entered the Beis HaMikdash. What are the Shein Arba? The two more cases is that the person knows he's Tamei, but he doesn't realize what he's eating is Kodesh, or the person knows that he's Tamei, that he doesn't realize that he's entering the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah continued, Yetzias Shabbos, we spoke about Yetzias Shabbos, and there too, the Mishnah said, Shtayim Shein Arba. What are the Shtayim Shein Arba? Shtayim Haitzah Da'ani. If the Ani is standing outside the Rishus Rabbim, sticks his hands into the Rishus HaYochid, and takes something from there, and brings it to the Rishus Rabbim, or Haitzah the Balabayis, that the Balabayis is standing in the Rishus HaYochid, takes something from the Rishus HaYochid where he is standing, and puts it into the Rishus Rabbim. Shein Arba, what are the two more cases that are added? Hachnos the Ani. The Ani is standing in the Rishus Rabbim, and takes something from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in where he is standing into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid and puts it down there. V'achnasa the Balabayas, and then the achnasa of the Balabayas is where the person who's standing inside the house takes his hand out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, picks up something outside in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and brings it into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid where he's standing. Rashi in Masechta Shabbos has a little different approach. Rashi Masechta Shabbos says two other balabayas where he takes something out and he brings something in, and two more of the ani where the ani is outside and the arba. So the shtayim are the balabayas who's standing in the Rishus HaYochid. Shein Arba reflect the ani who's standing in the Rishus Rabbim. But it'll really be the same. It'll result in the same cases. Maris Nagoyim. Again, when the Mishnah spoke about the Maris Nagoyim, what are the shnayim Shein Arba? Shnayim, the discolorations, that are mentioned in the Torah are Sa'is, which is white like wool, or Baharis, which is even whiter, which is white like snow. Shen Arba, Sa'is v'Toldosoi, the Told of Sa'is, Baharis v'Toldosoi, the Told of Sa'is is like the membrane around the egg. The Told of Baharis is like the paint on the wall of the base of the wall of the base of Megdash. And when we speak, and this will be very relevant to Sugyas later in our Masechta, when we speak about what is the most white to the least white, snow is the most, then comes white wool, then comes the white walls of the base of Megdash, and then comes the membrane around the egg. Ask the Gemara, Mani Masnisen, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? It seems that our Mishnah is Loi Rabbi Shmuel, the Loi Rabbi Kiva is not consistent with either the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva, because says the Gemara, Ir Rabbi Shmuel, if we want to suggest that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Hama Enachayev Alasa Lavai, he says that Midaraisa, there's only a Chiyev Karban Oil of Yared when you made a Shvua about the future. But if you made a Shvua about the past, a Chalti, V'loya Chalti, it is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that there is no Chiyev Karban Oil of Yared in such a situation. And continues the Gemara, E Rabbi Kiva, if you're going to want to say that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva, Homer, Rabbi Kiva, we're going to learn in our Masechta, says that only Helam Tuma, if somebody is Tomei and he entered the Beis HaMikdash, or somebody is Tomei and he ate Kodesh, that's when Hu Chayiv, that's when he'll be Chayiv a Karban Oil of Yared. V'ein a Chayiv, but he will not be Chayiv a Karban Oil of Yared, Al Helam Mikdash, if he knows that he's Tomei, but doesn't realize he's entering the Beis HaMikdash. He's know that he's Tomei, but he doesn't realize he's eating Kodesh. Answers the Gemara, Ibai Seim Rabbi Shmuel, Ibai Seim Rabbi Kiva. If you want, we can explain that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Yishmael. If you want, we can explain the Mishnah follows the opinion of Akiva. And says the Gemara, Ibai Seim Rabbi Kiva, Yishmael, the way to understand the Mishnah according to Yishmael is Mehen L'chiv or Mehen L'ptor. The Mishnah is saying there are Shtayim Shen Arba. There are four cases. Yes, there are four cases. But that does not mean that all four cases, there's going to be a Chiv Karban Oil of Yared. On some of them, there will be a Chiv Karban Oil of Yared, and in some of them, there won't be a Chiv Karban Oil of Yared. And that's how we understand. So that's why Rabbi Shmuel's opinion will be very understandable. Because Rabbi Shmuel is saying there's Shtayim, which there's a Chiv Karban. There are two more cases, when we speak about the past, that don't carry the Chiv Karban Oil of Yared. Bibay Seima, or we could follow our Mishnah and explain that it follows the opinion of Akiva. And here too we'll say, there's two cases by Tumah where there's going to be Chiv Karban Oil V'Yared, when you don't realize that you're Tumah and entered the Mikdash or a Kodesh, or Man Leptor, but if you remember that you're Tumah, but you don't realize you're going into the base of Mikdash, or you don't realize you're eating Kodesh, then you won't be Chiv Karban Oil V'Yared. Ask the Gemara, is it possible Leptor? Is it possible, does it make sense to say that our Mishnah is speaking, when our Mishnah speaks about Shtayim Shen Arba, there are cases when you're going to be Chayiv and the cases you're going to be Potter? All the cases of the Mishnah are presumably similar. Hadumi Damas Nagayim Ketani, they're all similar. When we speak about the four colors that we spoke about, Maris Nagayim, so then all are considered discoloration that would be have a chiyuv that would make a person to mitzayra. So doesn't that lead us to say that av hachanami, when we speak about shvuas or we speak about yudias atoma kul al chiyuva, there are all cases where there's going to be a chiyuv. The Gemara, interestingly, doesn't focus and say that Shabbos also is a case with all chiyuv. So Taisa says that, explains that when we speak about the Maris Nagoyim, and we learn the psukim about Maris Nagoyim, it's very clear that the intention of the Mishnah means that all the four colors that are identified in the Mishnah are considered situation
that will make the individual into Metzaira. But when we speak about the case of Shabbos, as we're going to learn, an argument can be made that even by Shabbos there are cases that are chayiv, and the cases chayiv deraisa, and the cases that are not chayiv deraisa. So it makes more sense, says Tosfos, to ask the question from Maris Nagoyim, where there is no way to learn other than saying all the cases are chayiv. Answers the Gemara L'Olam, Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah is going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The key loy mechayiv, Rabbi Shmuel l'shavar. When we say that Rabbi Shmuel says that a shvua about the past, you're not chayiv. That's only as far as the carbon oil of a yoyer is concerned. Ava malchus, if somebody made a shvua about the past, and it turns out to be, and he lied deliberately, he lied b'mezid, chiyuve mechayiv, the Rabbi Shmuel will agree that he violated the lav of lo sishava b'shmi l'sheker, and then there's going to be chayiv malchus. But ask the Gemara, how could that be true? Somebody made a shvua about the past. It's a lav shem emaisa. He just said that he did or didn't do something. And we learned extensively in Masech de Malchus that a lav shem emaisa ain't loikanov. You don't got malchus on it. So how can we now understand that the Mishnah is saying, well, you're not going to bring a carbon when you did a b'shoigig, but you're going to get malchus when you did a b'mezid. You won't get malchus when you did a b'mezid. It's a lav shem emaisa. Answers the Gemara Kedarava. We're going to have to explain the Mishnah that even though normally there is no malchus for lav shem emaisa, this is an exception. The Rava Dama Rava Beferish Rips the Torah Shvu Sheka Dumi the Shvu Shav. The Torah says Lesisa Shem El Kecha L'Shav. The Torah explain that shvua is speaking about the definition of shvua shav is a shvua about something which is patently impassable. It said something which is made out of gold is wood or something like that. Now the pasuk, as the Gemara explains later in Amasecht on Daf Chaf Aleph, even though the pasuk says lo yisisa shem el kecha l'shav, ki lo yinaka shem esa shiyisa shmoy l'shav, the Gemara says that this is speaking about not a shvua shav. It's actually speaking about shvua sheker as well. And the reason Rabbi Yochanan explains it that way is because the Torah uses, as we just read the pasuk, the word l'shav twice. Once it's speaking about shvua shav, and once it's speaking about shvua sheker. Says Rava, the reason the Torah over here is adding shvua sheker because the Torah wants to compare the shvua sheker, which is being discussed, to the shvua shav. Now, shvua shav is something that's a lie that about the past. He's saying something what now is not what it is. Now, we're learning here that the shvua sheker is the same, that he makes a shvua that he ate when he didn't, or vice versa. And that's a lav shem b'maisa. And see, yet the Torah says that you get malchus. Ma shav l'shavar, av sheker l'shavar. And there's going to be malchus on both cases. Ask the Gemara Bishlama, I understand that somebody made a shvua that he said ochalti when actually he didn't eat. Or he made a shvua the loy ochalti that he didn't eat when he ate, when he did eat. So Rava says that that's a case that the Torah teaches us that even though it's a lav shaver, mice are going to get malchus. However, shloy ochal, if somebody makes a shvua, I'm not going to eat for ochel. So that's certainly a case for which there'll be malchus. Lav shesh b'maisahu. By him eating, he's doing a lav shesh b'maisa. Elo asked the Gemara sh'ochel. But if somebody makes a shvua that he's going to eat, and then it turns out that he doesn't eat, amai, why would he get malchus? Lav shesh b'maisahu. It's a lav shem b'maisa. He didn't eat when he was supposed to eat. There's interesting debate amongst the achronim. What would be the halacha if somebody made a shvua that he's going to eat a loaf of bread, and then he actively goes and destroys that loaf of bread? How would the halacha look at that situation? That's a lav shesh b'maisa, because he destroyed the bread, making it impossible to fulfill a shvua. On the other hand, an argument can be made. Yes, he made it impossible to fulfill the shvua, but that maisa that he did is not connected to the shvua itself. Therefore, there's a debate, would that be considered a lav sheyesh by maisa? And from our Gemara, it seems it's not a lav sheyesh by maisa, because if it were a lav sheyesh by maisa, the Gemara could have given such a situation as an answer. Why, when somebody made a shvua that he's going to eat, it could be considered a lav sheyesh by maisa? Says the Gemara, a new teretz. The Savar of Shmuel, Rav Shmuel's opinion actually is the last Shev Maisa like in love. That Rav Shmuel's opinion is that you are chayiv for lav Shev Maisa. There's a machloikis how to understand the Gemara's teretz. Some Rishonim say that this rule that we've been quoting, that for lav Shev Maisa ain't likin, Rav Shmuel doesn't agree with that rule. And you do get malchus. That's one way to Rishonim learn what the Gemara means to say now. But there are other Rishonim that explain what the Gemara means to say is that when it comes to Hilchos Shavuos, that's where Rabbi Shmuel doesn't subscribe to the concept of Lav Shev Maisa. But B'chol HaTorah Kula and all other situations, he does subscribe it. Ask the Gemara if our Mishnah is saying that Lav Shev Maisa, Loikin Alav, ask the Gemara, Kashin Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, we'll have a stira. Dom Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us all around Shas that Loch is Kustam Mishnah. We always, if there's a Mishnah that is taught anonymously, so what does that indicate, explains Rashi. Rashi says the fact that it was taught anonymously means that this is the accepted halacha. So our Mishnah is teaching us, the way we're learning now, that Lav Shem Maisa, like it or not. Ask the Gemara, Ritmar, but we learned in the yeshiva, Shvur Shachal Kikaza Ayoim. If somebody made a Shvur that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today, and the day passed and he didn't eat it, everybody will agree he won't get Malchus. But they disagree as to why. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and the Loika, Mishund Avalav Shem B'maisa, because not eating is a Lav Shem B'maisa. The Chol Av Shem B'maisa ain't liking a love. Rish Lakish Am ain't like a, he comes up with a new concern. His concern is that it's Asra Sofik. Because when the person was told that you better eat the bread because otherwise you're going to violate your Shvua, he could say, well, I have all day to eat. And I have all day to eat, and therefore it's not considered that he violated the Asra. And the Rishonim point out, so what will be if he'll be warned in the last minute of the day? So now we don't have a situation where he could say that I have all day to eat. So the Rishonim say that nobody could figure out when is the exact last minute of the day. The Ritva says, we can't figure out when is the last minute of the day, that now is the last second that you could do the Shavua, and if you don't, you're violating the Asra. And Rish Lakish's opinion throughout Shas is that Asra Sofik Loishma Asra, because we're not sure that he's going to violate the Shvua. So we see here that Rabbi Yochanan, our Stam Mishnah says that Lav Shem Maisa, we don't get Malchus. And on the other hand, we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds the Lav Shem Maisa, the Amishnah holds Lav Shem Maisa Loikin, and it's a Stam Mishnah. And on the other hand, we see Rabbi Yochanan saying now, the Lav Shem Maisa ain't like an love. Answers, the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrona Ishka. Rabbi Yochanan found another Stam Mishnah. Hai Stama. Ilayim la Hai Stama. We learned a Mishnah in Masech the Makos and David Zayin, that Tanad the Mishnah says that if somebody breaks a bone of the Karban Pesach, he gets Malchus, because he violated the Lav of Etzem Leisish Berbay. But we learned Hamois Vitor, if somebody leaves over from the Karban Pesach after the Zman, if somebody leaves over from that Karban Pesach, the Shaiva B'Tomei, or somebody breaks the bone of a Karban Pesach that's Tomei, ain't a Loikus Aboim, then you won't get Malchus. Says the Bar Bishlam, a Shaiva B'Tomei, when somebody breaks a bone of a Karban Pesach which is Tomei, there's no Malchus. The Ksib, because the Torah Kedosha says that's a Loisish B'Boi, and the boy means kosher only with a Karban Pesach, which is kosher, may be consumed. v'loy b'posel. Now we're going to Pesach, which is tamei, which is posel. Ava ma'isa b'tar. Why is that locha that you don't get malchus for leaving over from the Korban Pesach? My tam alav mishum dav alav shem b'maisa. Isn't this a proof? Isn't it because it's a lav shem b'maisa? And kol ma'is lav shem b'maisa, you just left over. You didn't do anything. So actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, from here we see that what the Gemara said before, that Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah is teaching us that there is Malkus for Lav Shem Emaisa, he wasn't limited to Shavuos. He was saying his rule, B'kola Torah Kula. Because if the Gemara meant to say that Rabbi Shmuel only says this by Shavuos, the Gemara could have said a very simple answer, that by Shavuos you get Malkus and a Lav Shem B'maisa. Pesach that we're discussing now is not a Lav, there's no Malkus because it's a very different type of Isser. The fact that the Gemara didn't give that answer is an indication that Rabbi Shmuel meant to say that in all situations, Lav Shem B'maisa loikin alav, and since it's not Mishnah, presumably that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. And now we have a question. Here we have a different, and then for Rabbi Yochanan, how could he say in other places, as we quoted, that a lav shem b'maisa ain't loikin? And now Gemara says, well, we see that there are places that he says lav shem b'maisa ain't loikin, and that's the Stam Mishnah that he followed. Says the Gemara, umamai, why are we explaining that Mishnah? That Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. The Omar, that the reason there's no Malkus for leaving over from the Korban Pesach, because it's a Lav Shem B'maisa and Loikin Alav. Dilma, the reason over there is Rabbi Yehuda Hi, Mishum Debar, Kosov Litin Esseh Echalais Esseh, as we discussed very extensively in Masech the Malkus, that a Lav Hanitik Lasseh, which means a Lav that could be corrected by Mitzvah Sasseh, there's no Malkus. And here too, the Lav of Noiser is a Lav Hanitik Lasseh. It could be corrected by burning it. The Torah says, v'noisvimenu, anything that's left over, be'esh tisroifu. The Tanya, as we learned, the Torah says, v'loisvimenu b'biker, v'noisvimenu b'biker at be'esh tisroifu, bo'akos litin asay achaloisasei. The Torah is making this into a lav hanitik lasei, le'imash ein loikin alav, de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov gave a different explanation. He said, "Loimen Hashem Azeh." That's not the reason why there's no Malkus. And we shouldn't have a lav shem b'maisa. And a lav shem b'maisa ain't like in a lav. So, if that's the case, you're saying that we have a Stam Mishnah there that teaches us that for lav shem b'maisa there's no Malkus, and that is the Mishnah on which Rabbi Yochanan built his opinion. That Mishnah is not necessarily connected to the rules of Lav Shem B'maisa. It might be referring to the halacha of Lav Hanitik Lasseh. And I saw that the Ritva explains, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan necessarily disagrees with the concept that there's no Malkus on Lav Hanitik Lasseh. Rather, he says that this Lav is not considered Lav Hanitik Lasseh. Why is it not considered Lav Hanitik Lasseh? Because the pasuk of Anois Mimena Boiker Be'esh Tisroifu is not here to give us an essay how to correct the lav. Rather, it's continued to teach us a halacha that we're not allowed to burn the Noiser on Yontif. We know that the Korban Pesach is eaten on the first night of Pesach. If we leave it over till the morning is still Yontif. It's the first day of Pesach. So the Torah says, Ad Boiker, Litin Boiker Sheni L'Sroifasai. Don't burn it on the first morning, because we're not allowed to burn Noisro on Yontif. We should only burn it on the next morning, which is Chol HaMoed. So if that, says Rabbi Yaakov, is the purpose of the Pasuk, that Pasuk is not an example anymore of a Lav Hanitik Lasseh. And therefore we use that Pasuk, the reason why there's no Malkus is Lav Shem B'maisa. Furthermore, Rabbi Yaakov is going to teach us that for Lav Hanitik Lasseh, there also is no Malkus. Because, as the Ritva points out, when we learned Masechta Malkus, there was no opinion that stated that there is Malkus for Lav Hanitik Lasseh. So it's difficult, says the Ritva, to attribute such an opinion to Rabbi Yaakov. All Rabbi Yaakov is saying here is that this is not an example of a lava netik lasei.